the Gudger family. Mr. Gudger died, I believe, last night. So
yes, sir.
We hate to hear that, and he's been a strong point in the community of Coleman for many years, the Dean of Wallace for several years, and just a great family.
Yes, sir. Dr. Gudger and Glean, and then you had James Bailey. They were the faces of Wallace and really what brought it to where it is now.
Exactly.
So they was big, instrumental in it. I remember
they were.
Late 80s, early 90s when I was going to school there, you know, Gudger was involved in a lot of stuff, and then Glean too. So
good man.
He is a good guy. Owns a lot. Yeah. I had a lot of businesses here in Coleman on the buildings and did the Southern accents and stuff.
Right.
So
very sad. Yep. So prayers for the family. But politically, I mean, politics is everywhere. It's in the air. So
it's 5 weeks. 5 weeks.
Five weeks away. And I tell you what, Melvin, I've never seen so many politician faces on Facebook like I have.
It's kind of funny because my wife had brought that up the other night. She's like, man, why aren't we spending all this money running ads and stuff? Because you get, and she's probably right, you're going to get a lot more views of this stuff out on Facebook and things like that. You know, and eventually, I probably don't say this to give them an idea. I'm just wondering why they're not charging for it. You know what I'm saying? Eventually they probably will because everything.
I don't know.
They may not.
If it's a good thing, you have to keep it going because you know if you make people subscribe, they're all going to leave.
Yeah.
So their advertisers is what's paying, you know. And whatever the guy's name is, I'm sure he's a multi-millionaire already. Yeah, he is. So.
But the, it gets, you know, people, it's nice. It's a nice medium because people can share it, you know, and it gets out. So, yeah, of course, I like it. Like I said, it's free advertising. It's a lot cheaper than these $500,000 and $2,000 ads you put in the paper that some people will look at it and throw it in garbage. But, you know, when you do like what I've done I've run two ads where, you know, when you can actually, they're effective, they're costly. It's cost me about $3,500. But when you can actually print out stuff, print out orders, and motions or whatever, and you can and kind of break it down like I try to break it down. What is this that you're looking at? You can't deny it. You may not like it. You know, people may not like it. My opposition absolutely don't like it and says it's lying and it's misleading. But there's nothing lying and misleading about any of it. Every single bit of it. I mean, 100% of it's facts. So, and this is stuff that people don't know about. Any one of these four or five cases that I talk about, and all of them have a different reason why I'm bringing them out because it's kind of some lessons we can learn. Every one of them, it's all public record. You can go to the courthouse. You can go say, hey, I want to see this case. Or you can go to the, like I said, the law library and pull this up and look at it. But you got to know how to do it. And the general public, I mean, I'm not insulting nobody. They just don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
So you
got to
pull it up. You can look at it. And then you got to understand what it means. But it's all out there. And it's something we can learn from all these cases.
And that's my exact point is me as just a regular guy out here, you know. I have no idea what cases is out there.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of rulings have been on any of these cases because I'm not in the courthouse like you are every week.
And these are just cases that I know about that probably some of them are cases that I've been involved in before. So I still get notifications. I think, why did that happen? How did that happen? So then I dive into it, look in it. Some of them are cases that people are talking about because, I mean, you know, when you got really strange things happening in cases, lawyers sometimes pay attention to that and they see it. And then they start talking too, you know, and then it gets around, golly, can you believe this was done or that was done? And then you're like, you're kidding me. So I go back and get on my Alicorp and look it up. And sure enough, and I think, my gosh. So, and it's really the stuff that's done. You got open court where everybody sees stuff, but it's the stuff that's done, the motions and it's not really the motions that filed because that's the lawyers doing that, but it's the orders that are entered. It gets entered and, it's not in the newspaper. Newspaper doesn't publish that stuff every day. It doesn't make news, even though some of it probably is newsworthy. But it just happens and the public's just left sitting there unknowledgeable about it and don't know what's going on. So, like exactly. I said, I have been referred to as being disrespectful and misleading in what I'm doing, and I'm not being disrespectful. You can't sugarcoat some of the stuff I've brought out. You know, it's just things that I see that, hey, there's a problem here, and it's a fix. It's really an easy fix. The easy fix is, as a judge, you follow the law, period, 100%, no matter who side it, no matter who benefits from it. You follow the law, you follow the rules, and you make the decisions based on the whole case. You listen to everybody's side of the case. Even the only thing that I know of where a hearing's not required in the beginning, or we call them ex parte orders or temporary restraining orders, but they are orders that are entered in an emergency, only in an emergency. And even before you can enter them orders, what happens is the party or the lawyer files a motion, they verify it, they sign it saying, I swear this is the facts as we know it. And you swear, hey, there's an emergency that's happening, there's an emergency situation that's going on, we gotta have this order now, we can't wait for a hearing. But even if the judge enters that order, they still gotta have a hearing within 7 days or 10 days or 14 days, different things. You know, and hear the other side, because you're only hearing one side of the story. And when you hear only one side of the story, it's not fair to the other side. It's crazy. PFAs, or we call them petition for abuse orders, they're entered a lot now in domestic cases where a spouse comes in there, or a girlfriend or boyfriend comes in there, and they say, hey, I've been abused. I've been threatened abuse. Something's, you know, my kids have been abused. And you fill this information sheet out, and you fill this petition out, you file it in the clerk's office, it gets assigned to the judge, and it's a circuit judge. And that circuit judge looks at the facts that you state on that petition and says, whoa, there's an emergency here, and he or she enters an order. They only hear one side of the story. They restrain the other side from having contact with this person. But guess what? You're entitled to hear it, and they're usually set it within 7 days or 14 days. That thing's on a docket. The person gets served, and then the judge hears the other side of the story. And sometimes he hears the other side of the story, and he says, well, look, I still believe these circumstances exist, therefore I'm going to keep this order in place. There's been times when I've had trials or hearings, they heard the other side of the story, and they think, there's a lot of shady stuff here. This is not true. And it throws them out, you know. But all of them,
thank you,
it's all important to hear both sides of the case, because when you don't do it, you make mistakes. And some of this stuff that I'm bringing out is really big stuff. When you're releasing someone from prison that's got a life without parole sentence on them, What's an extra week or extra month or extra 6 months? You know, when that petition is filed to change a sentence to a life sentence, there's no hurry. There's no emergency. Well, oh my gosh, in 2 days' time, we got to sign this order changing his sentence. Well, when you do that, don't you think it's still fair to have that case set for trial, set for hearing, and hear the state side of the story? When you only hear it one side, it's just nuts.
Well, an ex parte, Melvin, I want to say this.
It means one party. It's one party, or only one side of the story is heard, yes.
But once it goes before the judge, and the judge hears it, and is ruled for that protection order to stay in place, it only stays in place for 12 months.
Well, no. Listen to this. If it's an ex parte order entered, and there's no rule, there's no hearing on it, it's only good for 12 months or 6 months or 9 months. The judge can set it out for however long. They can do it 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. They can do it 30 days, however long they want to. Now then, if they hear it, if a judge hears your ex parte protection from abuse case, and they determine that it's warranted, there is abuse or threats of abuse that's happening, then once they enter that order is a final order until it is modified or terminated. And that is serious. That is serious, serious, serious consequences to it. And that's what I tell a lot of people when they get these orders against them, and they come in and we go for a hearing. And I was like, look, here's the allegations, here's the facts, you know. And sometimes the people will say, hey, you know, we got out of hand, we was getting a fight and arguing and whatever happened, and maybe stuff was said or whatever. And I was like, well, look, you understand. If the judge hears your side of the story and hears that other person's side of the story, and the judge believes that other person's story that filed a petition, and that order stays in place, you're going to have to do something to get it modified or terminated later on, and they don't have to terminate. They actually go with you from now on. And when you got a protection from abuse order against you, you don't buy firearms, you give up your firearms, you don't buy, you don't get to buy, I don't even think you can buy bullets and shell, shotgun shells. You're not going to go on the Redstone Arsenal. There's a lot of jobs. It is a serious deal when that order is entered. I mean, it affects your rights all the way around. So,
well, let me add something.
And sometimes I tell people,
you can't get on work release. Is if you have an ex parte in place and that person gets locked up,
yeah,
without that ex parte being relinquished,
yeah,
they can't go on work release,
yeah,
to make money to pay child support or,
yeah,
any kind of fines or anything like that. They're,
yeah,
stuck.
They're stuck. Yeah, it is serious business. So sometimes just the facts of the case, you know, if it's a 6-month order or a 9-month order, 12-month order, you know, sometimes you just have to say, look, let this thing ride for 12 months. I know it's aggravating. Once it's over with, 12 months is over with. Unless there is an extension filed on it, then it's done deal, and you get all, you know, your rights are back and everything else. But it's just serious business. And unfortunately, since we're talking about these protection from abuse orders, because they are very important, we're talking about ex parte orders. The intent was good. In the end, it's just a piece of paper, though. You know, you get a restraining order, and you're keeping a person away from you. That piece of paper is not going to keep that person away from you. That's just a piece of paper that, if they violate it, if the other side contacts you or comes to your house or calls or whatever else, if they violate that restraining order, it is a crime to violate that restraining order. It is a misdemeanor. Unless you violate it, you know, I think more than once, or there's some stalking aspect to it. But if you violate that restraining order, the police are going to come and charge you if you violate it with the misdemeanor, violation of a protection order, put you in jail for 12 hours or 18 hours, 24 hours, whatever they put you in, and then you get right back out. You still have that piece of paper that really meaningless, you know, but it is... It's a piece of paper, but it has some serious, serious consequences. So, and I can't tell you how many, with my experience. Now, you know, I'm not sitting up for hearing these cases all the time, but you know, these things are entered one day, next week they're dismissed. The other side goes and dismisses them. So, but you've caused a lot. You've already caused a lot of damage, and the damage is done. The case is there, and they're, you know, and you're in the system having a protection from abuse, the out-of-court system that you can look into. So probably, I guess, all these background checks is going to show up on them. So it's serious business when you do it.
There's a Facebook question that he can answer really quick. Is people in the county want to know, can they vote for you? You know, this is just not the,
yes,
city of Colton.
You're right.
It is
a countywide. Every office on, okay, with one exception, every office on the ballot is a countywide election. There's actually two exceptions for this, for in June. So what happens is your House of Representatives is split up. The Senate is total Coleman County. So everybody votes for your senator. Either you're going to vote for Paul Bussman or Garland Gudger. As far as the House of Representatives, Alex Cheney and Corey Harbison's kind of on the west side, and the city of Coleman, they're on that side, and they're the only, and then on District 9, that's District 12, District 9's kind of Vimont, West Point battleground area, and that's the three guys from Hartsell or Morgan County that you're voting for there, I think. Well, one of them, actually, Bolin, lives in Coleman County. He's got a Danville address, but he actually lives in Coleman County. And then District 11 is the east side of county. That's just Randall Shedd, but he has no opposition. So him, so them, those elections, the House of Representatives, and then the other one are the school boards. So Fairview's got school boards, Good Hope School Board, I guess West Point probably school board, I assume. So them, those different school boards will vote in their other area. But otherwise, it is a countywide election. All the offices are.
We got 45 yeas.
45 yeas.
All right, we're going to let Josh take us out to a break, and when we return, we're actually going to talk about the office that you're running for.
All right.
You're listening to Understanding the Law right here on Live 95.5. We are WRJMLP-FM Coleman. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's a new Live 95 suggestion on how to prepare for the new work week. On Sunday night, you cook dinner. You help the kids finish their homework. You scream at your husband. You take the trash out. You make sure your kids brush their teeth. You tuck them in, sigh loudly, then pick up your remote control and turn on Sunday Night Live on Live 95. It's like being at a music festival, but without the illegal vapors, bright lights, and rednecks around you. However, if you want to make it more authentic, you can pour beer all over yourself. Sunday Night Live, all live tracks from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Coleman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Coleman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Coleman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Coleman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Coleman County VOAD, call the Coleman County EMA at 739-5410, 739-5410. Email ColemanCountyVOAD@gmail.com or search Coleman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Coleman County VOAD is Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Don't forget, you can give us a call if you want, 256-737-9505. If you have a question for Coleman attorney, marvelous Melvin Hastings, we will answer your question quickly. And basically what I wanted to get into right now, Melvin, is a lot of people out there do not know anything about the circuit court. They don't know why they should vote for you versus who's in there now, because they're just, you know, they don't know anything about the system. So why don't you tell everybody out there why everyone should vote for you?
It's like I tell, like I've always said, the circuit court has in any court, even probate court and district court too, but they have a lot of authority. When a judge signs an order, I mean, it's followed. You know, you can challenge it, but, you know, sometimes the damage is already done. You know, so let me give you an example. If I sign an arrest warrant for Daryl Nethery, and you go get arrested, and you lose your job because you got arrested, and uh-oh, it's a mistake, you know, a couple of days later, I realize it's a mistake, and we go set that aside. Guess what? The damage is done. You done been arrested. You done been in the paper, and you done lost your job. Now, maybe you can get all that stuff back, but that's it. You can't sue me. I guess if you could prove it was just totally willful and I was abusing my property and everything else, I was abusing my authority, then I guess you may could go after me personally, saying I had acted outside of my bounds. But, you know, I just go file a bankruptcy petition and it's over with.
Right.
You know, so it is serious, serious business. And when you don't have good, complete control and you're not really paying attention to what's happening, things happen. Therefore, let's go back to the issue that I brought about with the conservator case. That is a case that's been going on. It's still ongoing for 3 years. It is making decisions about a conservator and a guardian. When they are appointed, they're making, whoever the guardian is and whoever the conservator is, they're making decisions. You lose your rights. So if I am I'm Jane Doe, and then y'all file a guardian conservatorship petition against me saying I can't make decisions no more. Once a judge, whether it's a probate judge, signs the order, and then sometimes these cases get transferred into Coleman, up the circuit court, like this case, particular case I brought out last week. When that judge signs that order, you lose your rights. You don't make no more decisions about yourself. Your signature don't mean anything. And in a conservatorship case, you're losing your money. You don't have access to your money. You can't do nothing with your property. You're at somebody else's, they have total control of you, and that judge has total control over you. So it is, to me, it is very important for a person who's going to be a judge, no matter which level it is, to understand, you know what, I've got a lot of authority, and the decisions that I make affect people. Because every once in a while it affects a person, but really your decisions affect people. And if you don't keep control and keep a handle on that case, it can get out of hand. And like in that conservatorship case, all the assets are gone. You can't get that stuff back. It's done. So reason number one, why should somebody say, you know what, I like what Melvin's saying, I'm going to really consider voting for him. Number one is, I understand and I respect, regardless of what is said out by my opponent, I 100% respect the court system. I respect the rule of law, and I understand that that the decisions that are made are very, very important. They affect people's lives, their properties, their freedoms, and you can't take this stuff back. So number one, I respect the office, I respect the authority. Number two is the aspect of circuit court that affects everybody. The conservatorship case affects a family. The cases about these criminals affects everybody in Coleman County, because guess what? if criminals, wherever they may be, in Alabama or Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, whatever else, if they learn that, hey, you can go to Coleman, and if you get convicted, it's all right. You get the right situation, the right things happen to you, you may get out of prison. You may get out of it. They're kind of soft on crime down there. You know, you can go down there, and if you get caught, you get arrested, and then you get out, you bond out, you may get arrested 3 or 4 times before they catch up with you. And if that memo gets sent out to all these criminals, these thugs are going to leave Decatur. They're going to leave Huntsville. They're going to leave Birmingham and Montgomery. They're going to come to Coleman because it's easy up here. You know, if we're sending out a message, hey, in Coleman County, we're not taking your stuff. You come break in our houses. You come break in our vehicles. You come start assaulting us, robbing us. You're going to stay in jail. We're going to put you in jail. You're going to go to prison, and we're not going to, you know, and we're going to do everything we can to keep you out. They're going to go somewhere else to do it. So I have a 9-year-old, and I have a 14-year-old, and I have a 19-year-old, and I have a wife that's younger than me too, and I have a bunch of family, younger kids, nieces and nephews, and they're going to grow up in Coleman. They live in Coleman. We've lived in Coleman all of our life. I want them to be able to have the same type of Coleman that I had as a childhood, where it's safe. You know, well, you don't have to worry about all this violent crime and stuff that's going on. So I can send a message in that way as a circuit judge. Number three is, I mean, hearings are just, it's just so important. And I'm almost just dumbfounded at how many, and I've just gave you just a couple of examples on the show about some cases where things are done without hearings. It is so important to hear both sides of the story. So, and that's a promise I'm making everybody. I'm going to hear both sides of the story. Now, you may not like the decisions that are made. You may not agree the decisions. When I'm out talking to people and we're talking about being fair and honest, you know, I always tell people fairness is really kind of a subjective word, because if someone's got a divorce case in front of you, and you rule more towards one side than you do the other one, one side's going to think you're fair, the other side's going to say you're not fair. So it's kind of a relative term. You can't just say I'm going to be fair. What does that mean? Really, what fair means is that I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to treat everybody equal, because that's what the law requires. That's our little lady of justice, our blind lady of justice, or blind scales of justice. That's why they got that blindfold on. That's the court system, not the people. That's the court system that's blindfolded, saying, hey, whatever color, whatever race you are, whatever your situation in life, your lawyer is, whoever, none of that matters. We are blind to that. We're going to treat everybody equal. Everybody's entitled to due process. That is a constitutional right that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, everybody that got in Madison's, all them got together and says, hey, this is a right that we understand that's given to us by God, that we're all entitled to due process, equal protection, which means all sides are heard and people are treated fairly. And that is something that I take very serious, and we're going to do it. So that's three main reasons to vote for me, because I just want Coleman to be good. I love Coleman, and I love what I do. I love being a lawyer. I love the aspect I get to help people out. I get to make a little bit of a pretty decent living with it. But you know, you get to help people out, and people just want, they want a court system. They want, it ain't just court system. They want elected officials to feel like they want to be in touch with them. They want the elected officials to identify with them. Not just, hey, you get elected and you go off and do what you want to. That, you know, you got to be held accountable for what you do. They like, hey, listen, man, I get good reception every time I go somewhere. I mean, people's like, man, you're down to earth. You're we like you. You're a good guy, whatever. And I tell them, I say, look, man, I'm just like you. I'm no different than you are. You know, you got an occupation. You got a job. A lot of you make a lot more money than I do. Some of you work a lot harder than I do. But, you know, in the end, we're all same people. We're all equal people. I didn't come from a real affluent family. I mean, we all worked. I worked my way through school, and that's, I think that's what makes me appreciate more about the importance of being fair to people and listening to all sides of the story and treating people with respect. Because, man, Daryl, you work all your life and you get property and you take it serious. Well, if there's some issue, whether it's a landline dispute or somebody suing you on some kind of contract case or anything, you want your judge to be fair, to understand where you come from, and to realize, hey, this is an important case to you. I'm not just another number. And I know that a lot of people feel like in the court system, they just feel like they're just another case.
Exactly, and I think it's been that way for a long time.
It has.
It's not only here in Coleman. It's in many places. Yes. all over the country. And the thing about it is that we've had so many politicians to take office that have freely got elected again and again just because people do not want to educate themselves.
Yes.
They're just going to think everything's okay. He has done a good job. And let me tell you something. As you can see, not only in Coleman but other areas, when a person becomes complacent in a political office and nobody is saying anything to them to oppose them, to ask questions about what they've done in different scenarios and in different cases, they're going to continue to do exactly what they want to do because they know they're going to get away with it.
And it gets worse. You know what I'm saying? You give them an inch, they take a mile. And that's what happens. As things happen, as nobody's looking into it, and it's just kind of hit under the rug, then you can put more things under the rug. And listen, some of it may be by mistake. Some of it's just maybe just trying to ignore the problem. But, some of it's just pure old, they just don't care.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that irritates me, as well as the rest of the population, is to know that it continues to go on.
Yes.
Because when I put my vote out for whoever I'm voting for in whichever election, my thoughts is, and my wishing is that they're always going to do that job. Yes. Every day to the highest ethics standards every day. So when you go out there and you break that code of ethics, you're nothing to me.
Yes.
But you're just like anybody else, and you've got that job, and you don't deserve it.
Yeah. And you got to, and unfortunately, whenever someone is elected, it's hard to fire them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Once they get, it's not like another job, you can fire them, so you can go get you another job. Once they're in there, they're in there for their term. You know, and they do have the benefit of being an incumbent, you know. Whether it's name recognition, it's money, it's supporters, or whatever else, they do have a benefit, and sometimes it is harder. So listen, man, maybe I'm doing wrong. I don't think so. I have taken examples of cases that I know, and I say, here's a problem, but I've also got the solution. This is how you fix it. And almost every single one of them, it means you're going to have to take an initiative. You're going to have to do your job, number two, and you're going to have to remember, hey, why do these people elect me to this position? What does this position entail? And regardless if I like it or don't like it, I've got to do it.
Because I think in times past, people that is currently in office, a lot of these people will not throw out a lot of money for re-election because their name is already out there.
Yes.
So now Mr. Billy over here that's running for the same office, he's got to have money.
Yes.
He has to be heard. He has to do advertising. He has to do billboards. He's got to do newspaper. And as you've seen, and people that we've had on this show right here, gentlemen that's been running or going to run for the governor of Alabama, they all dropped out.
Yes.
Because they didn't have the money. Yes. It's the same way locally here in Coleman or Decatur. If you don't have the backing, you're not going to get well known. And the people that's already in office, they're already known.
Yep. And the, what I have learned is, I'm also going to brag on the Trump campaign. I got really involved in it, but it's true, man. You got to get a message out there. You got to be, hey, people don't like it, they're going to fight you on it, they're going to call you names, and they're going to try, they're going to personally attack you like they personally attacking him now. But, you know, when you stand up and say, hey, we're going to do something, we're going to do something right, we're going to do things different than what has been going on, there's groups that don't like it, you know. Oh, yeah. And they're after
tons
them.
Of
they're,
them.
Yeah, they're after
tons
them.
Of them.
So, you know, I'm not a coward. I'm not scared. I'm not violating any ethical laws by saying, hey, look, here's facts, here's situations that's happening, and here's how we fix them. You know, because if I didn't do that, Daryl, my campaign would be, hey, I'm Melvin Hasten, I've been a Republican since 1992. I'm going to be fair and honest. You just give me a chance. Let me be your judge.
Yeah,
okay, so if you hear that, I mean, what are you going to think? All right, so we have a judge up here, and then I got this guy that's saying he's going to be fair and honest. But, hey, is this other judge being fair and honest about what he or she's doing? Why do I need another judge? You know, it gets to be a popularity contest, and people doesn't – excuse me, people doesn't – they're not informed on – they really is like, man, I like this guy and I like that girl, and man, who do I choose? And it becomes a coin toss. But you know, I'm going to get the information out there so that people can say, hey, you know what, there is a problem, he is right, and we're going to fix it. Or really, people's going to choose to say, I'm just going to be blinded and act like that's not true, and then I'm just going to keep things the way they are.
Yep, and there's a lot of people out there that's going to do that.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people in Coleman that's not even going to go vote.
I know it.
Why? Because they don't care.
Yes.
It doesn't affect them personally because they're never in trouble. They never go to court. They never go to jail. I mean, they're good people. And they're just not going to vote. Now, they may be some of the ones that's going to gripe at some point in
yes.
time, but why gripe when you don't vote?
But you know,
better off to keep your mouth shut.
And you're right, but you know, these same people, even though they may not have ever been in front of a circuit judge, they may not ever get in front of a circuit judge, but you know, these people that may decide to sit home may be the one in a year or 2 years from now that has some guys coming from Birmingham breaking in their house and stealing their cars or stealing all their stuff, robbing them, and then they're going to be in circuit court.
Exactly.
Even though they didn't do nothing wrong as a victim, and they're going to expect, hey, when I got that judge up there, he knows, he or she knows and understands, I expect him to follow the law, I expect everybody to be treated fairly, including the victims. You know what I mean? Defendants, absolutely, if you're an accused, you're entitled to constitutional rights and treatment, and I honestly believe that, and I defend that. But you know what? Victims of crimes also have that same right, too. And both sides are entitled to be heard, and both sides are entitled to be treated fairly. So, you know, you may think, hey, that circuit judge don't have nothing to do with me. No, it doesn't affect me in any way. Oh, yes, it does, too. Absolutely does.
Exactly. But that's the mentality of
yes
of a lot of people in this world today. And I always think that you should always educate yourself about
yes.
so many different things.
Yes.
Things that don't even affect you right now. It may affect you later.
Yes.
Educate yourself, especially with local politics.
Yes.
You know, as far as politics goes nationwide, you know, I hate to say this. Every count votes, but in a different way when it comes to the electoral votes.
Yes.
And up on the East Coast, you're going to get more electoral votes
yes.
out of those states than you are in the South or the Midwest. Maybe a few more in California, places like that. But, you know, local, your vote does matter.
Every single one does because, you know, and if you vote for one candidate, they're getting another vote, but the other candidate is losing a vote.
Exactly.
It gets to be, for instance, a race can be decided. One person can win. Okay, if one person wins by 80 votes, you know, if the other side would have just turned 40 of those votes towards them, then it's a tie.
Right.
You know, you don't have to have the whole 80, but every single vote matters. And sometimes people say, hey, that person's going to win. I'm not even going to go waste my time voting for them. Hey, you may go vote and say, I'm just going to vote for the governor. I'm not even going to worry about these other local elections. But these local elections are probably more important than governor's
exactly.
race. I know that's crazy, but it probably is because these local elections, your legislature is going to determine how you tax money. I mean, you know, what kind of taxes and tax money spent. They're going to determine what kind of funding is coming to Coleman. There's going to be issues about school. So your legislature is important, which is state and your representatives. Your school boards are important. Your local school board races are important because they're going to determine the funding and the education and who's teaching your kids. That's important. Your county commissioner is important because they're going to spend your money and do your roads and run your sanitation department and water departments and things that they run. And then your probate judge's race, that's important. You know, so I'll give you a couple examples about land stuff because there are people who say, I ain't never going to be in court. They don't matter who's judge. I don't care who's judge. Do you realize if you live somewhere and they're going to run a road through your property, or they're going to run some power lines through your property, or they're going to run a gas line? I mean, ask them people out west how important a probate judge is. The west side of Canada, when they run all that pipeline, run it through the middle of people's pastures, they was actually getting their property taken away from them under eminent domain laws and given it to these gas line companies. And then you know, there's some people that had them lines run through their pasture and said you couldn't cross over it. And your probate judge makes those decisions on eminent domain. So that is an important office. Okay, your probate judge on this conservatorship case that I brought out, that's where that case started in probate court, and then it got moved to circuit court. But if I hadn't got moved to circuit court, that case would have stayed in probate court. That probate judge matters. And your district court cases matter. That's your juvenile, your DHR cases, your small claims cases. All that stuff matters. You know, some people you never know. You may be perfect, and you may be raising your family right. Everything does right. Your kid makes a mistake, and he's in front of your judge on juvenile delinquency. Nothing that you really don't have no control over, and all right. Of a sudden you're in front of a judge. So let's go to landline disputes in circuit court. What if somebody comes and your neighbor or somebody moves in and buys property besides you, or somebody's coming through there and saying, hey, there's an easement through your property? Any of those land issues that can just come out of nowhere, everybody says, hey, I'm secure with my land. Everything's fine. It's been in my family for whatever long period of time. But you may feel like that, but someone else may come in, buy a property, maybe an issue with the surveying. And next thing you know, you're in court on a landline dispute. Guess what? You're in front of circuit court. So you ain't done nothing wrong. You're not getting divorced. You're not in a car wreck. You're not in a criminal case. So you're thinking, and then all of a sudden you're in front of a circuit judge because of your landline dispute. Or maybe you went to work today, lifted an object, messed up your knee, messed up your back, messed up your neck, and you're working for some employers, and I'm not going to mention names. It's going to deny your claim anyway. And make you go to circuit court so you file a workers' comp case, man. That judge is sitting.
That's huge.
You know it's huge. So that judge is making a decision. Number one, is this a work-related injury? And if it is the company going to pay all your medical bills? And if it is, they automatically have to by law. That's really no issue. But how much money are you going to get paid? How much money are you going to, how long are you going to be off? You know, is this a permanent injury? And then even when that workers' comp case get settled 5-10 years down the road, maybe this insurance company or this company decides, hey, I'm not paying for your knee injury. Whatever's going on with you 10 years later is not related to that work-related injury. Well, you have to file a petition, be back in front of court, and that judge is making your decision again. So, you know, if people think, hey, is the circuit court's just for divorces and just for criminal cases, it's not. It entails a lot. Hey, you may have a contract. Hey, here's a good example. So, and this is going to happen in circuit court. This will make you think about it. All these people with all this hail damage. Some of these yahoos come in from out of town and do your roof, and it gets to be a $10,000, $20,000 job. Let's say anything over $10,000 gets to be an issue and a dispute about it, and you got to get it fixed or whatever else. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to file a complaint against that company, and guess who's going to hear it? Your circuit judge is going to hear the case. They're going to be in control of that case, whether it's a jury case. So it could be a non-jury case where that circuit judge is the fact finder, where they listen to both, should listen to both sides of the story and issue a ruling instead of a jury, or whether it's a jury issue, that circuit judge is in control of that case from the beginning to the end. They determine, does this case get dismissed? How long does this case go on? During trial, what rules of evidence applies? What evidence is getting in? What's kept out? So I'm gonna tell you, them cases, there are going to be those cases that's going to come out of the hail damage.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Lots of them.
You know, hey, maybe the insurance company said, hey, we're not paying no more. So you're in dispute with the insurance company, you got them filed in circuit court and you sue them. You know? So you never say never. All of them's important. You need to go vote.
Exactly. And one of the things that I've emphasized over the last few weeks when we've talked about this is that I feel it's a need for me, and I feel it's a need for others, that those that are currently in political office holding that position, that they should come forward and tell us, what have you done positive while you've been in this position? That way it gives me, you know, something to think about. Tell me what good you've done. And I have yet to see one person do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, Daryl, we got 5 more weeks, so we got 4 more weeks after this election. Actually, we got 3 more weeks because the last week will be the election night. But man, if any of these candidates over the next 3 weeks wants to come up here and take, because I've said about what I need to say, but I'd welcome them to come up here and let them get their message out. Talk to people. Tell them what their office is about and what they want to do.
Exactly. Well, and you can also invite them into the courtroom because most of the cases are open court cases.
Yes.
And they're able to see the people that are on the bench now performing at the level that they are, and able to get an up close and personal view of what is going on in the court system in Coleman, Alabama.
No, we actually started a few minutes late, so if we do, you want to go to
no,
10
no,
after?
I think we're all right, good. Darryl. Yeah, I'm gonna go watch my boy play baseball.
All right, so coming up next, joshing around. He's going to have his crew in here. They're going to talk about probably Star Wars or something. I don't know. I never talked about that.
Star Wars, Star Trek,
yeah,
Battlestar Galactica, whatever. All them good shows we used to watch.
Check out Big D and Little D this Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. on the Big D Radio Show. And then Melvin and I and Little D will be back next Tuesday for another edition of Understanding the Law. Make sure you go vote June 5th. Your vote counts. We'll see you next time.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
I'm Ed Horrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution. Today we want to say thank you to the over 62 million in the U.S. who volunteer their time for various organizations. That's a staggering number, 62 million. But according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, that number is actually on the decline, possibly as much as 4% lower than a few years ago.